A while ago, I got an email from Amazon. You ever got an email from Amazon? I got an email from Amazon Prime. We've had Amazon Prime for several years. We use the free shipping and we stream. We use that, you know, the streaming side of it. But I got this email, and in the subject line, it said, "You have an unused Prime benefit." So my first thought when I saw it was like, it's a scam. Yeah, I'm not going to even bother with it. But I was like, well, let me at least check. So I open up the email, and I start to read through, and I see it said this. "Dear Josh, we noticed that you aren't taking full advantage of your Prime membership. As a Prime member, you have access to Amazon Music at no additional cost." I was like, oh, that's interesting. And the more I looked into it, I realized it was legit. And I kind of vaguely remembered at that point when we first got Amazon Prime that they said something about Amazon Music, but I had forgotten about it. I'd overlooked it and just didn't even think about it. Well, today we're going to be talking about one of the benefits of being part of the kingdom of God that many people, including myself up until fairly recently, have forgotten about, which is healing. Now, when I say healing, I'm talking about like what you see in the Bible, divine healing, where Jesus would, you know, heal a person supernaturally, miraculously. And the apostles did it too, and the disciples did it. We're going to be kicking off a series today called Proclaim and Heal. Now, obviously, Pastor Brian has moved on to his new church. So the way this is, it's going to be a little unique, but Pastor Jack and I will be trading off weeks. He's going to be kind of preaching a different set of sermons, and I'm going to be preaching on healing. So every other week, you're going to hear, at least as the Lord leads me, about this for several weeks, okay? So that's kind of what's coming up. So today, we'll be talking about forget not all his benefits. We're going to start by looking in Psalm 103. So I encourage you, take your Bible and pull it out. If you don't have a Bible, grab one of the blue ones. I've even got page numbers written down. So in case you're like kind of weirded out by being able to find it quickly enough, it's page 428. Okay? No shame. I have found for myself on this topic, if I just hear someone talk about it, it doesn't sink in. But if I actually see it in front of me and I let the Holy Spirit reveal it to me in His Word, that's when I started to really notice a change in my own personal views about this. So, Psalm 103, we're just going to read the first three verses. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. Lord, we want a fresh revelation of your word. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us and show us the wonderful things that you have for us today in your word? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think it would be safe to say that everybody would agree that a benefit of being a child of God, if you could call it that, is salvation, forgiveness. You know, we've been forgiven of our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. But how often do we think about healing as a benefit of relationship with God? So we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Matthew. We're going to kind of jump around in the Gospel of Matthew. So I encourage you to turn there. Page 687, we'll be in Matthew chapter 9 to start out. Matthew chapter 9. Starting in verse 35. Now, let me go ahead and read it first, and then I'll continue. Matthew 9, verse 35. "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Now, I kind of mentioned this the last time I preached was in, I guess it was like October 6th or something like that. I kind of introduced the concept of being open to the possibility that God still does miracles today. And we look closely at Jesus. We were actually starting a series in Hebrews at that time. But we looked more closely at Jesus and see how did he handle sickness. All right, so So kind of our first point is kind of a repeat of that. Jesus came to proclaim, like it says, the gospel of the kingdom and to heal. Heal the sick. Now, under sick, I'm using that as kind of a general, like, umbrella term. Sick, disease, you know, leprosy, demon oppression, all that is kind of considered under the umbrella of sickness as the way I'm referring to it. So healing is one of the benefits of being in relationship with God, of being in the kingdom. Now, I've heard the idea that Jesus kind of only did miracles to prove he was God. And kind of the implication is, thus, miracles are not still for today. Have you ever heard that? The more I've looked into God's word, the more I realize that doesn't really make sense. And let me show you what I mean. Yes, healings do show that Jesus is God. Absolutely. But he did other miracles too. Remember when he was walking on the water? It's in we're not going to have to turn there, but Matthew 14. He's walking on the water, and there's a storm. And then, he invites Peter to come out. And then he gets in the boat. The winds ceased. And then it says the disciples worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That miracle by itself would have been enough to demonstrate that he was God. There are other miracles that he did that were not healing related. He changed water to wine. He fed the 5,000, really over 5,000. He fed the 4,000. He calmed a storm at one point. So those miracles, and that's just some of the examples, those miracles show that Jesus was God. So why did he heal specifically? See, I think we've forgotten some of the benefits. We've misunderstood the heart of God the Father. Jesus came to save us from our sins, absolutely, but he also came to heal us from sickness and setting people from demonic oppression. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. This would be page 523 in the Blue Bible. Isaiah 53. This is a passage that might be somewhat familiar to you. We're just going to read a couple verses. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3. It's talking, it's prophesying about what Jesus would do at the end of his life. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We're familiar possibly with this passage, and it's referring to what Christ did from the whipping post all the way up to the cross when he was flogged, he was beaten. I mean, think about it. With his wounds we're healed. The King James Version says, with his stripes we are healed. Stripes like on his back. When did Jesus ever have stripes? His whole life. He wasn't sick. He wasn't hurt, right? It was just that one time from the whipping post to the cross where he allowed that to occur to him so that there could be a substitution. Jesus took our sins. Why? So that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty for them and so that we could be forgiven. In the same way, this is something that there's a guy named T.L. Osborne that talks about this a lot. This idea of substitution. In the same way, Jesus took our illnesses and diseases. Why? So that we don't have to take them. So that we could receive healing. If that doesn't make sense to you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Okay. Now, there's some people that will say, well, I don't see it say sicknesses. Mine says griefs and sorrows. And there's a little bit of debate about the wording there. And there's commentary that will say it should be translated this way. And some commentary will say it should be translated this way. You know what commentary I like the most? The Bible. I love it when the New Testament gives commentary on the Old Testament, explaining what it truly means. Matthew 8, starting in verse 16, page 686. When I realized this, man, it changed my perspective. That evening they brought to him, to Jesus, many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. He took them. Go ahead and go to the first point there. And then that was what we talked about. And then the next one. He took our illnesses so that we don't have to. He took our illnesses so that we don't have to take it. He bore our diseases so that we don't have to bear them. That's why Jesus proclaimed the gospel and healed the sick. Because that's what he was doing. That was what he was getting ready to pay for when he got to the cross, the whipping post in the cross. Now you might say, well, I don't know. That's just one verse. Okay. The Old Testament prophesied about it. The New Testament confirmed it by commentary on the Old Testament. Jesus did it by proclaiming the gospel and healing. He commanded it in Matthew 10, verse 8. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. The apostles did it. The 72 non-apostles that were just disciples did it after his resurrection as well. And it still occurs today. Now, maybe you've never seen a miracle, like in person, but it's happening in the world today. And it's actually happened here in Robertsville in the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've been praying for God to display his power, and things are happening. Praise the Lord. Now, it may not be like someone like coming out of a wheelchair. Maybe, I guess you could say a smaller scale. But I believe it's the beginning of what God wants for us, and it's going to get bigger. Okay? This is not just theoretical anymore for me. I've seen it. I'm not pointing the attention to me. I've seen Jesus heal somebody in the moment. I'm not talking about like, I believe I'm healed, but there's no actual physical manifestation of it. Okay, I'm not knocking that, but what I'm talking about is what we see in the Gospels, where they were healed in the moment. And that has happened here in the last 2 months, multiple times, okay? So I don't say that for any other reason, but to stir you up and realize, hey, wait, this is applicable for us today. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 9. I just read this a minute ago. Matthew 9, verse 36, it said that Jesus had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Why did he have compassion on them? He doesn't want them sick. He loves them. He loves us. If you're a parent, do you want your kids sick? Is God a better parent than you? I believe so. When they're sick, are you like, finally, they're sick. Now maybe they can learn some patience. Right? Yeah, we want our kids to learn patience, but that can be independent of being sick. In fact, most of the time when you're sick, you're like wiped out. You're not learning anything. You're just like asleep or resting, or you know what I mean? Like that's not normally the time you learn very well. When Jesus says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? Same kind of concept. We're actually invited by Jesus to compare, in a sense, if we would do it as an average parent, how much more will the Heavenly Father do it? If we recognize it's a good thing and we recognize that sickness is not a good thing, you see what I'm saying? It's kind of the flip-flop, but if we recognize that sickness is not good, and we don't want our child to be sick because we love them and we have compassion for them, how much more the Father? And he says, they were like sheep without a shepherd. What happens to sheep when there's no shepherd? They get lost. They stray. Anything else? What are they vulnerable to? Wolves. Attacks from wolves. And if you think about it, John 10, where Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, he makes the like a symbolic reference. We're the sheep, he's the shepherd, and the devil is the wolf. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Well, what are they being harassed by? Look up a verse, healing every disease and every affliction. They were being harassed by the disease and the afflictions, the sicknesses. What I'm getting at is this. Sickness is not from the Lord. It's from the devil. The devil is harassing us. Now, hear me. I'm not saying if you got a sniffle, that means you have a demon. Okay, that's not what I mean. I mean from its source, the root of it. You know, some people could say, oh, it's the result of the fall. Yeah, I agree. Who caused the fall? The devil. The temptation from the devil. So at its root, it's oppression. It's harassment. It's like a bully. If you get a sniffle, it's like, I remember when I was in middle school, you ever been bullied? You know, kid that was sitting behind me, was in gym class and we're just sitting in the bleachers and he'd come up and like flick me in my ear. And it was just enough to irritate me, but not enough for me to do anything about. I feel like sometimes that's what the devil does to us. allergies. Allergies. You know, back pain in the morning. It's like, it's enough to get me irritated, but I'm not going to actually address it. I'm not going to actually tell the devil to stop. Now, I trust me, I know that when I say sickness is not from the Lord, that is going to rock the boat a little bit for some of you. It rocked my boat. But I think it's been for the better. So what would I say? Don't take my word for it. Let's look at Jesus. How did Jesus handle sickness? Remember, Jesus always did the will of the Father. And he healed, like it said here, he healed every disease, every affliction. He healed all who were sick. So if sickness was from God, that means that Jesus went around undoing what the Father gave them. You see how that doesn't make any sense? If sickness was from the Lord and God wanted us to be sick, or he gave us that sickness to teach us something, that means Jesus went around doing the opposite of the Father's will, which doesn't make sense. Whenever someone came to Jesus for healing, he healed them. He always did the Father's will. He revealed the heart of the Father because he's a dad. He wouldn't want his kids sick. He was showing, Jesus was showing them what dad was like, or what dad is like. He was showing them what the new covenant is like. Forget not all his benefits. Who's he talking about when it says his benefits? Bless the Lord. It's the benefit of being in relationship with the Lord. Jesus didn't just heal to show he was God. He healed because he loves us. And that's the heart of the Father, is for us not to be in pain or to be sick. Another thing that throws a wrench in that whole, Jesus only healed to show he was God. If that was the case, why did he give the disciples authority to heal? They weren't God. That doesn't add up at all. If that was the only reason, then that would mean he only would have that authority. But he gave it to them. Look at, Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Did you ever wonder why Jesus said that? He said it to his disciples. Think of it this way. When Jesus came to earth, if you wanted to get healed, you had to go to him physically, like in person. Because when he came to earth, he kind of set aside his omnipresence while he was on earth. Does that make sense? So to get healed, you actually had to go to him in person or send someone on your behalf. And it said he would lay his hands on multitudes of people, healing multitudes of people. Well, a multitude is a lot of people. So if you're number 95 in line, you might be waiting a while. So he tells his disciples, pray that the Lord sends laborers. And then look at next chapter, chapter 10, verse 1. He called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. It's the same thing that he did three or four verses prior to that. He's multiplying his ministry. So now instead of one person being healed at a time, 1 plus 12, now we got 13 people who can be healed at a time. Like from a practical standpoint, from a time standpoint, like a time management standpoint, more is being accomplished. He's multiplying the effectiveness of his ministry. Turn over to Luke. This is page 734. Luke chapter 10. Most people are aware that Jesus did miracles and that the apostles did miracles. I said this last time, but I'll say it again. Are you aware that there are non-apostles who did miracles? There was a group of either 70 or 72, depending on your translation. Okay. Look at Luke 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He says it again. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. If you drop down to verse 9, it says, heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And if you look down at verse 19, it says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. So it's kind of split up over a couple of verses, but he's given them authority. So now instead of one person or 13 people, we've added another 70 some odd people. Now we've got like 83 people praying and with the authority to heal the sick. So instead of one person being healed at a time, 83 could be healed at a time. He's multiplying his ministry. Something I never realized until just this week as I was studying this. Think back. He said, the harvest is plentiful. Send out laborers. Pray to send out laborers. He said it to his disciples. Then God gave him the 12 apostles and then the 72 non-apostle disciples. Then after he sends out the 72, he says it again. Pray earnestly for the Lord to send out more laborers. Who are the other laborers? You're looking at them, me and you. Do you see how, like, people who say, well, miracles are only for the apostles, that doesn't make sense? Why would he tell them after he sent them out, pray for more laborers? Look at the, if we look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, if you want to turn there, you can. We're probably familiar with it. I'll just read it. The end of Matthew, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We're not making believers per se who just believe in God. We're making disciples who are doing what the disciples did, who did what Jesus did. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What did he command them? Love your neighbor? Yeah. All the things that we know, but he also commanded them to heal, and he gave them the authority to do that. So he went from one person to 13 to 83 some odd people. Now, every believer has the authority to heal the sick. That's good news. There's a lot of sick people around. We're ambassadors for Christ. We represent him, which means we can do the things that he did, that he told us that we could do. He said, I'm giving you authority and I'm giving you the command, go heal the sick. So that displays even more the heart of the Father, that he wants us well. Wherever there is a sickness, a believer should be able to lay hands on the sick and that person recover. Healing is a benefit of the kingdom of God. So think of it like this. Think of it like a timeline of kind of like history, I guess you could say. Back here is the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, before the fall. Adam and Eve. Was there sickness and disease in the Garden of Eden? Did Adam have back pain? Did Eve have diabetes? Right? And how do we know that? Because God, that God created it and saw that it was very good. Okay? So think, if this is the timeline, let's think kind of up here for a second. This is heaven, current day. Is there sickness in heaven? Right? Is there, do they need inhalers up there? Right? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to be lighthearted. All right. So there's no inhalers in heaven, right? Think about it in the future when we go to be with the Lord and the devil is thrown into the lake of fire. Is there cancer in heaven in the future? No. So if it's not here, the way God intended it before the fall, and it's not here currently in heaven, and it's not here after sin and the devil are put away, then I would venture to say that that's not God's will for us to be sick. God wants us to be well. He created it that way. And so, do you remember where Jesus says, it was Luke 10, I think he said, say to them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand or has come near to you. It's like right here in that timeline, Jesus came down to earth and said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like, and he healed them. There's no sickness in heaven. He was educating them about what the kingdom of heaven is like, about what God is like. We know the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're so excited about going to heaven, which is great, but I think sometimes we forget that God's trying to get the kingdom of heaven on earth right now. Think of it like this. This picture I felt like the Lord gave me, it was very helpful. Think of it like this. Imagine you live in this rundown county, and you live on this real rundown neighborhood, real rough. I mean, trash everywhere. There's no trash pickup. There's no education, no schools, no hospitals, no police. Crime is just rampant. Really rough area. And then all of a sudden, the city limits of a nearby city start to get extended. into another neighborhood. And it's like it's bringing life to that area. It brings protection. It brings education. It brings health. It brings cleanliness. Christ came down from the kingdom of heaven to earth. And it's like that city limit just got extended a little bit. Wherever he was walking physically, he expelled the kingdom of darkness. He expelled the sickness and said, this is what heaven is like. There's no sickness. He's expanding the rule and reign of the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's like the mayor of that nearby city came with good news saying, telling our rundown street that, hey, the city limits are going to be extended to anybody who wants it. To every house that wants it. And you'll receive all the benefits of being part of that city under the rule and reign of that wonderful mayor who loves his people and cares for them. There's no sickness in heaven. So we're to bring God's kingdom into the world in our particular area so that people start to see how good God is. They start to see the heart of the Father. If you were in that rundown neighborhood and your neighbor, their house all of a sudden got renovated, and you started to notice, like, the school bus came and picked up their kids, and their kids were getting to go to school, and all this change, positive change, what would you say to your neighbor? Hey, man, what's going on? That looks pretty good over there. What would the neighbor say? Oh, yeah, the city limits of the nearby city got extended. It's available to anybody that wants it. That draws people in the same way when and you could see it both ways. When we're healed and someone says, hey, what happened? You can say, Jesus healed me. Or if we're praying for them and they're healed, this is the greatest way to explain the gospel to someone. Hey, that was Jesus knocking on your door. That's why he got healed. He loves you. He's introducing himself to you. He wants a relationship with you. That's why it's so important we remember all his benefits. The accurate representation of the kingdom of God attracts non-believers. And that's what's displayed in the gospel. He always sent them out, not just with the gospel message, but with the authority and the power to display the power of God. I hope this is starting to make sense a little bit. When I realized this, it was like a paradigm shift. I started seeing things differently and better, and I think more accurate. I stopped seeing sickness as maybe something that God was giving me to teach me and started realizing that's not from heaven. That's from the kingdom of darkness. That's what the devil is trying to do to us. The heart of the Father is that we're well. And we've been called to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand and then heal the sick, both. I'm not saying let's flip-flop and never talk about salvation again. I'm saying we've been talking about salvation all the time, which is great. We need to. And we need to also include the sick, healing the sick. Talk about that. Learn about that. Jesus did both. The apostles did both. The 70 or 72 did both. Our Great Commission commissions us to do both. If I were in person following Jesus, like alive back then, and let's say I was his disciple, and you know, a disciple, we think of disciple today as just like a teacher in a classroom. A disciple was probably closer to what we would call an apprentice. They followed, they shadowed, they trained day after day after day. So if I were as a disciple, I'm following Jesus, and I'm listening real closely, and he's talking about loving your neighbor, loving your enemy, and I'm going to be like, wait, we love that person? And then he shows love to them. I'm like, oh, I guess I do. And so I'm learning. My mind is being opened. And then all of a sudden, a sick person comes up. And I'm like, all right, Jesus, I'll be over here. And he's ministering to them about their sickness. And I'm like, well, it's not as important as salvation. It's important to Jesus. Why is it not important to me? Yes, salvation is by far the most important thing of being in the kingdom of God. That's how you get into the kingdom of God. But he's got more benefits than that. It says to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And I think, I hope this makes sense. I don't want to proclaim the gospel of salvation only. There's more to it than that. Salvation is, yes, there. And God wants us to be free. He wants to have abundant life now. And sickness is not part of that. He wants us to be well, and he wants us to heal others, whatever that means, right? How do you heal someone, Josh? Well, that's why we're doing a little bit of a series on this, because it's a big topic, and we're going to talk about that. But there's no sense talking about healing the sick if you don't even believe you're supposed to. Right? If we're sitting down, then we're not going to be paying attention. And when it's like, oh, Jesus, okay, this person has a fever. What do you do when they have a fever? And you observe, oh, that's what you do. What do you do when they have paralysis? Oh, that's what you do. What do you do when they have leprosy and a contagious disease? Oh, that's what you do. What do you do when they've died? Oh, that's what you do. Like, the training can't occur if I'm still on the bench thinking that it's not important. I hope this is an encouraging message. I don't want it to sound like I'm condemning. I'm telling on myself. I've been that guy I've been saved since I was 7. I'm 41. So 34 years minus about 6 months. I've been sitting on the bench thinking, it's just healing. It's not nearly as important as salvation. I didn't realize all along that like half of Jesus' ministry was healing people. Physically, not spiritual healing. I'm talking about actual physical healing. I feel like we've sorely missed a huge part of his ministry. And what that means is I've missed the heart of the Father. He wants us to be saved and he wants us to be well. Do you know, we talk about loving each other, loving our enemies. One of the best ways I can show love to someone is to actually, through Christ, heal them. I can say, tell them blue in the face, Jesus loves you. And if they're still thinking, you know, well, God gave me the sickness. You see how that's confusing? Why would God give me a sickness if he loves me? It's because God didn't give us that sickness. The devil has been going around assailing the character of God from the beginning. Did God really say that you couldn't eat from the tree? You see what he's doing? He's causing Eve to question God's goodness. Everybody believes God can do it, but most people wonder whether or not he will. That's like saying, God, I know you're powerful, but I don't know if you're good. God is good, and he's powerful. He does both. And it's us that has been kind of missing it. And I don't mean that like, you should feel bad about yourself. I'm saying, hey, let's wake up. Let's realize there's something more for us that God has. Do you realize how much more willing and confident you are to pray for people to be healed when you realize the Father wants them well? Well, I prayed for them and then get healed. Well, do you think that God wants them to be sick? Well, you see why that prayer might not work? Because you're praying like conflicting. You're thinking God wants them to be sick, but then you're praying for God to take away the sickness. That doesn't work. That's, at least in my experience, those kind of prayers, very rarely, I don't think I've ever seen a prayer like that work. If I thought it was God's will for them to be sick, we pray according to God's will. Thy will be done. And God's will is for us to be made well. This is good news. It's better news than I thought. All right, we're almost done. I mentioned the Amazon notification at the beginning of that unused benefit. And this is, I believe, an unused benefit that Christ has for us. He came to save us, absolutely. And he came to heal us. It's time we did both. Not flip-flop. That's not what I'm saying. But let's just be honest. We've ignored this for a long time. So we're going to have to spend a little bit of time focusing on it. Not leaving this aside, keeping it here, but, you know, let's focus a little bit more on it. That's why we're doing a series on this. I could talk about it, and everybody goes, yeah, that's great. It's hypothetical, theoretical, that sounds wonderful. You know, I'm ready for life groups, right? But it took me a while before it's like combing through hair. I had a lot, you know, you comb through hair, and it's got a lot of tangles. If you try to get it all out in one pass, you're probably going to get stuck or rip out your hair. So for me, it was kind of like taking multiple passes, and little by little, I felt like God opened my eyes to this. And again, we're already starting to see it in our church. So maybe you've forgotten that this was a benefit, or maybe you didn't even realize. So here's your notification. Dear child of the kingdom of God, I notice you're not taking full advantage of your inheritance as a child of God. Yes, you can proclaim the kingdom of God, but you can also heal the sick at no additional cost because Christ has already paid for it. We encourage you to fully utilize the benefits that Christ paid for. Let's forget not his benefits. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Lord, I am.